Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good evening, gentle listener, and welcome to Distractable, a Whatever production with your hosts, Mary Mark, Wishful Wade, and Benevolent Bob. Your nuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost ripping through your clothes, Yuletide carols being sung by a lyre, and folks dressed up like mosquitoes. Yes, this week the likely lads linger on the least loved leisure time, Christmas gone wrong. Please prepare thy mistletoe and enjoy the show.
Hey everybody, and happy holidays from us here at Distractable. We have another fun episode for you today, a podcast where we talk about whatever we want. I'm your host, Wade. How you guys doing? Mark and Bob.
This has devolved so much. You know, I thought it was gonna be like a special Christmas episode, but just, man, really besmirching the name of Distractable.
You want me to say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays? Is that what I did wrong?
No. It's just like, it was after the monotone Happy Holidays and then the 2 seconds of, is Distractable where we're talking about stuff?
Yeah, well, I felt like it was more important to focus on the holiday aspect than what we're doing. We're just a bunch of assholes.
Ain't that the truth?
No, it's not the truth.
It ain't.
We're good people.
We're good assholes, I agree.
No, we're good. I believe in the good in us. And I believe in the institution that is Distractable.
The institution.
Maybe that's not the right word. Maybe a better word. The tradition that is Distractable.
I believe in the prison that is Distractable.
The wholesome family get together that is Distractable.
Exactly. Not a prison wait. The wholesome get together.
The celebrated pastime of a nation that is Distractable. That's us, man.
We're a global phenomenon that is Distractable.
Oof. Hold on.
Universal, really.
I guess.
Interplanetary sensation sweeping the space station.
Do you think there's an alien species out there that also does podcasts and they have one that's called Distractable in their own alien tongue?
Dude, if we have to go to alien court, if our introduction to aliens is us being taken to alien court for violating their copyright, yeah, that'd be great.
Alien court.
We had Distractable in 1382 BC.
They had Christ?
No, before Chesalampadon.
Your Honor, the prosecution will show in these proceedings that the human word Distractable is in fact the same as beloved podcast of our people, an idea stolen by these fleshy meat wads. These aliens are kind of robotic in my head. You couldn't get that from subtext, but...
And slightly specious. Actually, extremely specious.
They sound like HK-47 from Star Wars.
Irritated inquiry, master. Meat bags.
Yeah, well, space court aside, I guess we're an institution now. What do we do? Do we need to have a Christmas party or something?
I don't know.
What do institutions do?
What do institutions... What defines an institution?
What's an instant tuition?
I did not... Institutions. Society organized, founded for a religious, educational, social, or similar purpose.
Similar. We're similar to those.
I think we fall under similar.
That's a similar... What's your purpose? Similar.
Or... Second definition, an established law, practice, or custom.
Custom.
We're a custom.
We're a similar custom.
Institutions include marriage, Distractable, and also baseball? I don't know.
If you've listened to Distractable, you're married to it and therefore obligated for the rest of your life to always listen to it.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
Exactly.
That is our custom institutional demand requirement.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Yeah.
Similar.
This is great.
Well, since we're so deep in the holiday spirit already, I figured this is a good time as any to have a fun episode where we talk about holidays, kind of whatever we want to talk about at holidays, but specifically weird traditions, either you've heard about, read about, or that's in your own family, or just weird stuff y'all do. I know that there's weird things that happen around the world around Christmas time. So,
true.
Let's sip on our eggnog, grab our hot cocoa and candy canes, kick back, and Christmas it up in here. Yeah? No?
You sure?
All right.
Great.
Yeah, all right, man.
I have all that stuff.
And I'm going to judge you guys based on whatever I feel like. That's the criteria. So similar.
Similar to what?
It's similar. Don't question it.
I'm going to judge you based on comparable, similar.
You got to poke holes in this?
Yeah.
It's flimsy, man.
Don't poke holes in it. It'll sink in a second.
If we had a building for our institution, it's a cardboard facade that's not held up very well. It's been rained on. It's kind of curly at the edges.
And based on our current legal situation with the Interdimensional Podcast Association, we got to be careful how what words we use. So.
I have a problem.
Okay.
I have some concerns.
Okay.
Oh, should I mute the recording for this? Is this private?
No. This is in regards to the topic revolving around Christmas. Mm-hmm. I've heard reports from around the neighborhood, concerned parents, frightened children.
Get rid of the kids. Solve the problem.
That there's apparently an old man keeping tabs on all the kids.
In your neighborhood?
You guys heard about this? In my neighborhood, in your neighborhood, apparently everywhere. Uh-huh. I don't know if it's a network of old men.
Yeah.
He's supposedly incredibly fat, so I don't think he's running around all over the place. Must have cameras or I don't know what. This guy, he keeps a running tally of everything that kids do and then like scores them. Good or naughty.
Yeah.
Is he part of OMN, the Good Old Men Network?
I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I started getting letters for that. I'm getting up to that age.
I've heard of this guy too, and I've actually heard he's not slow. I've heard he's very fast.
Well, that's even creepier.
And, you know, he doesn't just keep tabs on people. He watches them when they're sleeping.
Well, how does he know when they're sleeping?
He just knows, okay?
Okay.
Usually, I mean, he probably like
cameras?
Bets on night. You know, people usually sleep at night. You're going to beat the odds if you bet someone to sleep at night, you know?
Oh, I don't know if that counts as knowing then. Like, if I peer in your window at 3 a.m., yeah, you're probably sleeping. I didn't know that.
No. The thing is, he's always watching. That's what you were saying. But you have to sleep at some point. So he knows when you're sleeping if he's watching you. He knows the moment you fall asleep.
It's just messed up. I feel like everyone's bought into this. He has fans that cheer for his arrival. Mm-hmm. There's a parade on Thanksgiving that's basically in his honor. Mm-hmm. And listeners, I'm sure you've already got there. Yes, I'm talking about the Santa Claus. Jolly old Saint Nicholas. Right. Jolly because he's creeping on everybody. Because he's watching. And also, I just want to know, at what age does he stop watching? Because I can be pretty childish, but I don't want this old guy checking me out in my sleep. Makes me really uncomfortable to sleep in the nude, which is my preferred way to sleep.
Does he know when we're having sex?
Oh, yeah.
Is that good or bad? I don't even know how does he score that?
He has a naughty list. Ugh. He's got a naughty list.
So why is it sometimes good to be naughty, but for Santa, it's bad to be naughty?
When is it good to be naughty?
I don't know, all those advertisements for like lingerie and stuff, like, oh, get on the naughty list this year.
Yeah, like if you do something and someone looks at you and you're like, oh, naughty boy. That was good naughty, right?
That doesn't seem good.
If I did that to you, Mark, wouldn't you be excited?
No.
If I took my hand and slowly brushed it up your thigh and I leaned in so my untrimmed mustache whiskers tickled your earlobe and I was just like, oh, you naughty boy.
You know?
Wouldn't you be excited about that?
I feel like I'm getting a little bit of it right now and I don't feel very excited. Fear. Fear is what I'm starting to feel.
My heavy shoe scrapes the back of your calf because I'm trying to be delicate, but I'm not. The smell of Monster Energy and Takis on my breath.
Okay, wait, whoa, now we're talking here.
Wait. The blue ones? My fingers are blue too.
No, like that.
And for some reason, my tum is real blue under my shirt, which you'll learn later.
I can only imagine the situation in which your tum would also be covered in Takis dust.
That's the good kind of naughty, Mark. It clearly exists. Everyone's on the same page, I think, now.
Okay, all right. Can you use it in a sentence? Another sentence other than the one that you used it in before?
I mean, I feel like that was a pretty good sentence.
But, I want another one.
Did you see how Mark's cheeks got really flushed when Bob caressed him? That was naughty.
I feel like those are two separate sentences, but whatever.
It's like a semicolon.
I've got one for you too. Naughty or nice. Those are the options. There's a sentence for you.
All right. Okay. I feel better about that sentence than I'm actually, my brain is currently purging what Bob was saying in the past few minutes. So I'm resetting down into a mental state.
Oh, it'll come back around. Don't worry.
I got stuck on his bristled mustache. The
untrimmed mustache hairs.
Against my earlobe.
That's hot. Ladies love a mustache.
I still can't get over why the Takis dust is on your stomach.
Yeah, well, don't you want to know? Don't you want to hang out and find out?
I guess, yeah, man.
Look, my point is, the concept of Santa is weird and creepy, and I get that it's old, but bless kids for being so accepting. If you told that to an adult, right?
Yeah.
If you met an adult who didn't know anything about the world, and you were like, yeah, there's this guy, watches you all the time, knows when you're awake, knows when you're sleeping, tracks what you're doing. At the end of the year, gives you judgment, good, naughty, and you either get presents or you get, you know, some bad stuff. You like poop in a sock. And one, not the worst punishment you could get for not being a good person that year. But two, even an adult who had no idea would be like, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Do I sign up for this? Is this optional? But kids are just like, okay, so there's presents?
He lives in an isolated estate up in the north, away from anything, where he keeps an undersized workforce unpaid and working all year round.
He hides away, and he keeps Mrs. Claus locked up there. She never comes out.
Does Mrs. Claus, like, have, like, a book club or something, or does Mrs. Claus get out?
I don't know, let's find out. What does Mrs.? Well,
who would go to the book club? The elves are always working. Who would go?
The legendary wife of Santa Claus is known for making cookies with the elves, caring for the reindeer, and helping to prepare the toys.
So she scrapes up shit all year while Santa's, like, drinking milk and eating cookies.
Yeah, pretty much. That makes sense. I mean, I feel like that kind of would be a full-time job. There's got to be a lot of elves, so, I'm preparing
toys. I meant the reindeer shit.
Listen, it's not as glamorous as they make it out to be in the cartoons, okay? The elves are all naked, and they shit everywhere just like the reindeer. It's a big open workshop with hay and sawdust everywhere on the floor to soak up the juices. And Mrs. Claus has got to sweep that place out like twice a day minimum.
Yeah. You know, this sidebar, but do you know that movie is called Fat Man? Did you guys see Fat Man?
No.
I unironically loved Fat Man. If you guys haven't seen it at home, it's about Mel Gibson as a crotchety Santa Claus, and he's got a gun. And
oh,
it's
my
just
God.
Like, that sells the whole movie. But Mrs. Claus is amazing in that one. And just, like, Santa as a whole is awesome. Like, people shit on the movie. Like, it doesn't have good ratings, but I loved it. I thought it was great. I had a great time with it.
That's so weird.
I didn't even know Mel Gibson was acting again.
Yeah, he kind of came back with a few things here and there. Huh. I haven't really been following, but just like this movie was just interesting.
I love that Hollywood doesn't give a hot damn about what the content is. Anything that exists, eventually someone in Hollywood will be like, okay, it's a gritty reboot, right? This is a dark Santa. He's got guns. He's an alcoholic. He has war flashbacks, and he's hard to deal with. Touching turnaround story of how he still saves Christmas despite being a horrifying man.
Yes, that's the movie.
I never even saw the Billy Bob Thornton one. What was that, Bad Santa?
Bad Santa, yeah.
I never saw any of those either.
Well, that guy wasn't really Santa. In this one, Mel Gibson is actually Santa.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch that now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely should. I think it's a good watch, but maybe my taste might be shit, but whatever. Anyway, back to the concept of Santa as a whole. Yes, is nightmarish, is terrifying. I think that leads into what Krampus is. Because Krampus is
he's probably the good guy.
Well, in kind of the cosmic sense where people say, like, well, maybe Satan's the good guy, you know? Like, I don't know who's to say. Cleaning up the ne'er-do-wells? It's a thankless job. But Krampus, right? Like, Krampus is the kind of counterpart. I don't know where Krampus came from. I don't even know, like, the origins of the modern-day Santa. I know it's, like, originating with St. Nicholas.
I know in Austria they have Krampus. He's, like, an evil counterpart to Santa in Austria. I don't know if that's the origin of it, but I don't know why I know that, but I know that's a thing in Austria.
I love the Austrian tradition with Krampus.
Uh-huh.
Krampus. Have you guys heard of Krampuslauf?
Krampuslauf? No.
Lauf in German means to run or to throw. I don't know. Anyway, Krampuslauf translates, I guess, as Krampus procession. It's like the running of the bulls, except it's a pack of Krampuses.
I love that.
Children and adults line the streets to watch a herd of Krampus run past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is just wholesome or something.
It does sound wholesome and or terrifying, because if, like, you're coming out of preschool at the wrong time on that road and you turn your head and a herd of Krampi are coming at you, I mean, you're going to wish you were a little better that year. And I think, like, it's fascinating because the counterpart to, like, Santa Claus, the whole concept of, like, there always being, like, an evil counterpart to something is kind of lost lost in today's stories that we tell children. Because back in the day, like when things in the forest could actually kill you, I mean, they still can today, but like it was, you know, more prevalent there. You go in the forest, you might die of parents just scaring the absolute shit out of their kids with all these stories in the woods, like with the gingerbread house witch, you know, Hansel and Gretel, like all these like nightmarish stories of the past having some evil thing that was like, if you're not a good kid, you will literally be stuffed in a bag in the middle of the night and I will never have to deal with your shit again. So you better be good.
Yeah, dude, did kids used to be way wilder than they are now?
I don't know.
Like, kids are still crappy. Mm-hmm. I worked in a school for a couple years at K-12 school, and like kids could still be just terrible.
Uh-huh.
Like you're talking about all the old like German, you know, folk stories and stuff.
The Grimm
yeah.
Brothers.
Yeah, the Brothers Grimm stuff. It's dark, man.
Yeah.
Dark.
Like, kids were so bad. The parents were like, what do we do? Oh my God, he won't stop bringing goats into the house and then killing them all over our furniture. Oh God. Okay, we need to invent some stories where kids get their like hearts ripped out through their buttholes or something if they're not good.
Uh-huh.
We gotta really scare these idiots.
Yeah.
Like, what happened, man? Jeez. I mean, maybe that's why, I don't know, kids are bullies and stuff now. Maybe kids were like so well behaved back then because they got told one of those stories and they were like, okay.
Well, they needed to have something to distract the kids. The parents were so busy on their stone tablets and stuff, they weren't really paying attention to them.
God. No. I tried not to laugh, but it came out. But seriously, though, like the modern version of like the Brothers Grimm stories would be, I don't know, graphic. RoboCop will come and shoot you if you're not a good kid. I don't know. Like, it'd be weird, man.
My favorite Grimm fairy tale.
That doesn't happen.
A big, scary police officer is going to shoot you if you don't behave. It's pretty much what RoboCop is.
Yeah, but he's a robot. He's special.
Right.
I mean, he's a cyborg. Or is he a robot?
Cyborg.
I'm not a big lore fan of that franchise, but...
He's cyborg.
Is RoboCop different from Judge Dredd?
Yes.
Yes?
And I'm insulted that you had to even ask that.
I was asking on behalf of some of our audience. I knew the answer.
Right, of course.
Clearly, you are not the law.
Uh-huh.
Because he says that.
Oh.
Yeah, eagerly awaiting the sequel to the latest Dredd movie, which was great.
It was good.
It was good.
I liked it.
It was okay.
It had What's his face? Mr. Man.
Mikey?
No, the guy who played Dredd. What? Oh.
Stallone?
No. He did, but in the recent one.
Vin Diesel?
No, not Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel would make a terrible, like, Judge Dredd.
Other Vin Diesel?
Other Vin Diesel? There's two?
No, the guy who kind of looks like Vin Diesel, but he's not Vin Diesel.
Who?
Hang on.
Carl Urban?
Carl Urban.
Yeah.
Carl Urban.
That's what I said.
I definitely didn't have to search that one up.
I would have searched it, but for some reason, my Googling ability has died, literally.
Oh.
I'm still on the call with you guys, so my internet's not gone, but...
Well, it's something.
Good.
Okay. Carl Urban. There we go. Now it's working-ish. My internet's been a little spotty in my house. Anyway, I'm waiting for the sequel of that movie to come, but I know it's never going to happen because it didn't like make a lot of money. It like broke even, but then Hollywood, that means it lost money because of the funky accounting that happens for movies. So that's probably not going to happen. But it was good. I liked it.
Yeah, it was a fun watch.
It was a very fun watch.
This episode is brought to you by Mint Mobile. No more overpriced phone plans necessary. Big monthly bills, unexpected overages, expensive, and outdated.
Or you could stay outdated. Vintage is in.
My old phone has the perfect patina of Cheetos dust and teenage stank.
Okay, I have a better option. Mint Mobile, for a limited time, they have wireless plans that include unlimited talk, text, and data for just $15 a month. Upgrade your plan today at Mint Mobile. For limited time, wireless plans from Mint Mobile are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. That's unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer, go to mintmobile.com/distractible. That's mintmobile.com/distractible. mintmobile.com/distractible.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What were we talking about?
Krampus?
Oh, modern terrifying stories. Oh.
Yeah, it'd be creepypasta.
Yeah.
Do they even call it creepypasta anymore? That's like an old internet term.
I mean, but that's not a thing. What would that story be like? Oh, listen, little Billy, you know the parable of Jeremy and the broomstick creepypasta. he kicked his friend's juice box over and then stomped on it and it sprayed all over his MacBook. And it broke his MacBook and it cost his parents $800 to fix it. So the broomstick creepypasta slithered out of the cabinet and climbed up inside of his butthole and stole his happiness.
You're talking about the broom man? Are you referring to the broom man right now?
I'm going to Google this and I'm going to be very mad at you if I get terrible, terrible things in my browser.
The broom man.
You hear a gentle sweeping as he comes to lurk into your bedroom at night. When you come into your room and everything's dusted and your mom didn't do it for you, you're already dead.
Parents tell you to clean your room and you don't, but it gets clean anyway, you know he's coming.
The broom man is already in your closet.
I love the idea of it doesn't anthropomorphize or anything. The broom just awkwardly is clearly thrown across camera as it moves. Like it's a shot of a broom in a closet and then a zoom out shot of the closet and the broom is just like chonk onto the floor. And this is like a broom being thrown around the house until it stabs the kid in their bed while they're sleeping.
Yeah, you get this like close-up wrestling scene of a kid and a broom and he's like, oh! Throwing the broom around like, no! And then just like close-up shot of broom going through a shirt and blood just, spilling yeah, out.
Just rustling noises. You get a close-up of the kid's face and he's like, no! And a close-up of the broom and it's just like...
This is gonna date me a little bit, but this reminds me of a movie I always wanted to rent at like Blockbuster, but I never did. Where like the cover, it's like a horror movie, but the cover is just like a tire, a wheel.
Yeah, I literally have that Googled up right now. Rubber.
Do you?
I was gonna talk about
that.
It's
yeah, that's exactly
rubber.
What this reminds me of. Tell me about it.
Yes, and it reminded me of that too. Have you not seen that movie?
No, I've never seen it.
I haven't seen it either, but like I know all about it. Let's watch it together.
Yes, please.
Oh my God. The summary of this movie is so good.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, only need one sentence to know that I absolutely need to watch this now.
Read it.
This is a 2010 movie. Is there an older version of it? Because I swear I saw this in...
No, 2010.
Yeah. Horror comedy.
Yeah.
Rubber is a movie about a tire that kills people with its mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty high concept stuff. This is the next sentence. Yeah.
I swear I'm having like one of those things where like I have a vivid memory of seeing this in a Blockbuster, but there's no way I saw it after 2010.
I suppose, yeah, you're probably right. No way in a Blockbuster. Maybe like as you're going through a store and it had like a DVD rack.
Yeah, you see it at like the grocery store in the bargain bin or something.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's one of those movies. There's another one that I've seen someone do a review of that's like where this murderer or someone gets killed while they're trying to be apprehended by struck by lightning or something, and then they get put into a drone. And so like they are a drone, like literally like a DJI Phantom 3 drone that flies around and kills people.
Oh my God.
I looked up movies like Rubber. So this holiday season, if you guys are feeling the Christmas spirit and you've already seen Rubber, you can watch other classics like Killer Sofa, Possum, or Butt Boy, or Thanksgiving.
Butt Boy?
Butt Boy. It's a guy in a blue robe. It's called Butt Boy. I have no idea what it's about, but it's recommended.
Butt Boy, 2019 thriller comedy.
What? I'm not going to Google that.
No, it just comes up with an IMDb page, man. It's legit.
Nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going
to
do that.
I think two of us trying to access the Butt Boy IMDb at the same time is crashing the site.
Now everyone at home listening to this is Googling Butt Boy. Don't deny it. We're calling you out, listeners. We know you're doing it. Shame.
Look at the image for Killer Sofa while you're at it.
Killer Sofa. Killer Sofa.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. killer sofa. That's really a thing. Oh boy.
There's also one called Wrong Cops that's recommended, where it's just like a police officer showing his like likes to eat the same kind of food I do chest.
That is the directed by the same director as Rubber.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
That is in their filmography.
Oh.
Wait, Velocipastor?
Yeah, I'll put Velocipastor. Yes, Velocipastor. I heard about Velocipastor a while ago. This same channel that like did a rundown of that other movie I was talking about also did a rundown of Velocipastor. And it's about a priest that can turn into a raptor, a velociraptor. And I don't remember what the actual trigger for turning that into it, but he fights ninjas and like he falls in love.
Oh my God.
And it goes places. And I haven't seen it myself, but I heard about it like 2 years ago. And then recently it started actually like gain traction and people, it's like a little bit of cult classic. And if you guys have seen it at home, maybe you know what it's about, but it's just, I mean, you gotta watch it.
Inhumanwitch, Llamageddon. What? How have I not heard of any of these things?
Llamageddon.
Oh, wait, no, I've heard of Llamageddon, actually.
Inhumanwitch is another one, yeah.
Inhumanwitch. Oh, wow. It's funny because some of the, like, the posters for these is pretty good. That one's not good. Okay, it looked good small, and then I zoomed in on it, and it's not
good. The facial expressions of the people on the Inhumanwitch poster are top tier.
Yeah, like, I don't know if, probably it's 50-50, where 50% of the people that are making these movies are like, we know it's going to be bad, and we're doing it just to be bad, and it'll be fun. And then the other 50 are like, this is my masterpiece. This is my magnum opus. This is what's going to get me into the industry. And you know that happens.
I just want to say Thanksgiving I think has several sequels.
Thanksgiving. Wow.
All right, listen. My point is that Santa's creepy.
Right, Santa.
Yeah, no, agreed.
Santa.
It led us down this line. We ended up with Thanksgiving when we went look for Santa. So yeah, I'd agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all pretty concerning, but
the lyrics to his theme song.
He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake.
Uh-huh.
He knows if you've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake.
Uh-huh.
Creepy.
Yeah, but, you know, I feel like it's missing without that other half of Krampus, because the kid can just be like, well, I guess I'm going to get coal. It's pretty valuable, I guess.
What does Krampus do? I've seen the movie, so, like, I know what he does in the movie, but, like, actually, like, what does Krampus?
Snatches kids, doesn't he?
I think, yeah, pretty much that.
And what, eats them? Sacrifices them?
I don't know.
Raises them as his own?
They don't come back, I guess.
Yeah, just takes them.
All right.
Just not a good enough kid.
Yeah.
You're done now.
There's an SCP that I believe is Krampus. I'm pretty sure. SCP-4666. Was spooky.
I see what they did there.
But in that one, it like details what happens pretty explicitly. And so they steal a kid and they take him to help make toys. But the toys are often made of the bones of the other kids. And they'll like eat an arm of a kid, eat a leg, eat a kid, you know, and then just basically will appear outside of your house around the Yuletide time and kidnap murder.
I love that.
Kidnap murder. You love that?
Yeah, that's great.
You love that for them?
Yay for Christmas, yay for Krampus. But I would agree they're both kind of weird. Like, a lot of traditional things are weird. I found one. This is not, well, it is related, but it's not necessarily Krampus or anything. In Catalonia, apparently, they have this tradition that involves creating a character out of, like, a log, drawing a face on it, giving it a hat, and they spend a fortnight feeding it fruit, nuts, sweets. And on Christmas Eve, the family beats the log with sticks and sings a song that translates to basically, if you don't crap well, I'll beat you with a stick until the log excretes all of its treats.
What?
And they decorate nativity scenes with small pooping ceramic figurines, usually like well-known people from like throughout the year or something, where they have pants around their ankles just pooping. They sing about pooping as they beat this log until it excretes the sweets within.
They beat their logs while pooping until it excretes sweets.
Well, I don't know much about this log. I think the log's like a pinata, basically.
Yeah, it sounds like a pinata that's just being described as pooping.
Yeah, but they actually decorate, like, they've got figurines of characters pooping that they decorate around with.
Uh-huh. Where?
Catalonia.
Catalonia.
I don't know how to pronounce this. It's like Cagatillo or Cajatillo or defecating log is the Catalan tradition.
Wait, is Catalina where there was that boob ghost?
Catalonia.
No.
Malaysia. Sorry, I apologize.
Catalina's addressing. Catalonia is the place.
The Catalan log that poops nuggets at Christmas.
Wow.
NPR.org. Wow.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Well, I feel like you've described as much as there is to describe on that one.
I just wanted to throw out another one, get us back on the Christmas spirit.
God, the pictures when you go to the images of that particular Google search, it's this log is not what I thought it would be.
It's kind of like if whoever designed Mr. Towley from South Park was told to design a log that poops treats and was like, okay.
I just, this image that I linked, it's just like, it just feels, this feels wrong. This feels like I shouldn't, it feels like I'm on the wrong website.
Oh no.
Dude, the lady's face on the left in that cartoon, it's like a cartoon image of a lady in a purple dress
holding down the log
on a pile of something.
Yeah, there's a guy with a green striped shirt. They're both holding sticks beating this really sad log with a Pinocchio length nose.
Yeah, and then there's another picture, same artist, of just the text, if you don't poop. And then I don't, like, it's the most threatening image I've ever seen in my life.
God, those faces.
There's another one of the same log just sitting there, and it just says poop. And he's happy because he pooped.
I see that one. Oh, God. Well, the only thing I have comparable to that we do in our home is just the hiding the pickle, you know, thing.
Oh, you guys do that? I heard about that and I had never heard that before.
Yeah.
I had never heard that before either.
You've never heard of it? Yeah. So every Christmas, we've always done it as far back as I can remember. There's just always been a pickle somewhere on the tree and whoever gets it first gets a bonus present.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know where it comes from. I don't know what started it, but that's just the thing. And that sucker is hard to find. That thing's real tough.
Oh, it's green and the tree is green.
Hide the pickle seems like somebody would try to convince like a date of on like the third date, like, hey, we should play a game called Hide the Pickle.
Is it on the tree or is it anywhere?
It's like it has to be in the tree somewhere. So usually when we did it, we hung it. It was, what we had was an actual ornament.
Right.
But we would hide it somewhere near like some stuff. And I stopped doing it when I grew up, but you know, they still do it.
Yeah, I heard about that. I was like an interview or something. Someone brought that up in like the last couple weeks and I never heard. So are there rules about when you can look for it? Can you only look for it with one eye? Because if the rule was find the pickle, get a present, as soon as the tree was up, I would just be like, well, I'm not going to stop looking until I find the pickle.
No. It's got to be like on Christmas at an agreed time so you don't know where it is.
Sure.
Everyone's on the same page and then you all rush the tree all at once.
Did the same person always find the pickle? Because it's just hanging out. You probably find it. Do they put it on right before you look for it, I guess?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
So me and my
sense.
Brother did it first way back when, and so it would just be us two. But then, you know, like, I got this big extended family now, so it's like a rush of these 12 kids that go sprinting for the tree all at once and basically knock it over, and then someone's real pissed when they don't get it. So yeah.
I looked it up, and apparently in the 1880s, Woolworth stores started selling glass ornaments imported from Germany, somewhere in the shapes of fruits and vegetables, and pickles might have been among it. And around the same time, it was claimed the Christmas pickle was a very old German tradition, and that the pickle was the last ornament hung on the tree. The first child to find the pickle got an extra present, but not many people in Germany seem to have ever heard of this, so it's unlikely that's a true story.
I mean, I do feel like it's one of those things, because Cincinnati is like a German city. A lot of high Germans, population, German traditions and whatnot. I feel like this is something that Americans and German, like, maybe Germans pranked Americans to be like, oh yeah, we hide the pickle all the time. My German accent is not
my
good.
Favorite German oh yeah.
Please keep
you
going,
guys,
German.
You guys
Mark.
Go for it. No. It's not
oh
just
yeah,
gonna be me.
We hide the pickle all the time.
That's the one.
Every year we put the pickle on the tree.
We hide the pickle on the tree, laddie.
My favorite German accent.
Get out of my tree. You're German, right? Oh, yeah. Oh, hi. I'm German.
Oh, jawohl.
Wink, wonk.
Let me get you the pickle from the Kühlschrank.
What do you mean, German? I'm from Moscow. We have babushka here. Oh, hi. I'm Japanese.
Oh, God. This is why we agreed not to do accents.
Yeah.
When did we agree this?
I don't know. I feel like that's just a general rule that we have out in the universe.
In the institution of Distractables. the bylaws.
Yeah, one of our enshrined institutional North Stars is that you shouldn't do accents, because don't do that.
Yeah, you're right. What was I thinking? What's my punishment?
That's a lot of pressure, though. Like, a lot of holiday traditions and stuff from around the world are just, like, they seem funny. Like, they seem like, really? And I always have, in the back of my mind, I always wonder if, like, a German guy just got to America, was just moving in and settling down, and his neighbors were like, hey, Klaus, how you doing? Good to have you in the neighborhood. You know, we're just getting ready for the old Christmas season. Wonder if you had any fun European German traditions. And he's like, oh, I don't know. We just do Christmas, you know, tree, sing a song. I don't know. And they're like, oh, come on. You Germans, you're wacky. You must do something fun. And he's like, okay. Hides a pickle in the tree. Yes. I don't know. We got nothing, man. It's not interesting. Like, is all of this shit, who comes up with this? How does it get to this place and why?
I don't know.
There's no way it was thoughtfully curated. Like, someone was like, yeah, we put the pickle in there and then we tell the kids there's a pickle in there.
Humanity is one big game of telephone that started from the time the first word was spoken and continues to this day. So, like, as soon as someone says some bullshit to a gullible enough person, they're gonna believe it. And they're gonna pass on that bullshit information in whatever way it was distorted in their head. And thus, you have civilization and where we are today. That's kind of it.
So you're saying if some dumb American was walking past a couple of Germans talking, and the German guy was like, yes, yes, I have three pickles. And the American was like, tree pickle? What a weird German tradition. And the German guy handed one of his three pickles to his friend and they walked away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense that we're the idiots, at least.
Yeah. It always boils down to us being the idiots and trying to co-opt something that doesn't make any sense and call it tradition.
Do you have any weird Christmas traditions, Bob?
Weird ones? I mean, so my parents, I don't know if this is the right name for it, because I think this is something else. My family would play this game called, I guess we call it the white elephant, like, game sort of thing. So we play like a version of that where basically you buy a bunch of like tchotchkes and, you know, candies and random stuff. You make like a big pile of like all bunch of little presents. And some of them are big, but, you know, they're like big box with one thing in it or whatever. It's the idea is that you have no idea what the presents are. And then we play this card game where basically you're trying to get a pair. The first person to get a pair gets to pick a present. And you can pick a present from the pile, or you can steal from someone one of their presents that they've already picked. And like, you just keep playing the card game. It's really fast paced, passing cards around, and eventually all the presents are gone. And then there's like one final round. You can, like, you know, exchange stuff. You can't open anything, but you can guess and try and, you know, get the best stuff or whatever. And then at the end, you just open the presents and it's like, oh, I got candy and a book about birds of Ohio or something. And, like, you know, that it's really fun. The presents are all just little things, nothing super cool, but
yeah,
the game is really fun. That's probably my favorite, like, tradition that my family does.
We've done that in the past. That's not like a yearly thing we do every year, but on my side, my great aunt, I don't know if she started this or if this started like with her family or what, but like, for as long as I can remember, whenever we've had our family get together, we all have a thing where we do like the number drawing thing, like where you just draw a number and you go pick a present the next person can steal.
Yeah,
but she always comes up with some unique thing we have to do as like a family where we split into groups. The first year Molly ever visited and met my family, like, I'd just seen her in person for the first time, like, the day before Christmas Eve. I think she came in like the 23rd. She like met my mom, my siblings, and then the next day we went over to celebrate Christmas Eve with my dad's side of the family, basically. And my aunt had us divided into groups where I wasn't even on the same group as Molly. So she had to like go get into a group with just random family members of mine. And we had to dress up into like different costumes and perform a song. Like dance along. We didn't have to sing, we had to like dance to this song, put like a dance routine. There was a year we had to do like a cook-off where we had like different recipes. We all had to cook stuff and see whoever could make like the best dish. I can't remember all the other ones we've done, but like throughout the years, there's just always been different like little mini competition things that we've done where they're lighthearted. They're not like try-hardy things, but it's still like kind of bizarre. And I don't know where that originated from.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds kind of fun.
You know what tradition doesn't make a goddamn bit of sense?
What's that?
Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Yes.
That shit is the most confusing thing. If a groundhog comes out of its hole and sees its shadow, there's going to be six more weeks the winner. If it sees a shadow, is it, or if it doesn't see a shadow?
If it sees its shadow and gets scared back into its hole, 6 more weeks of winter. If it doesn't see its shadow and it kind of stays out, no more winter.
What if the day's cloudy? What if it's cloudy that day? Like, which groundhog? Any groundhog? Like, I know they do Punxsutawney Phil. I know, but that can't be how it originated, right?
Yes.
Who was the first person that told another asshole, hey, if that groundhog sees a shadow, it's going to be 6 more, and then bet their entire farming schedule around that? Because that's what it was, right?
Here you go. I got some information for you.
Okay.
On February 2nd of 1887,
uh-huh,
Groundhog Day featuring the rodent meteorologist to celebrate. This is from history.com.
Uh-huh.
In Pennsylvania in 1887, according to tradition, if a groundhog comes out of its hole in this day and sees its shadow, gets scared and runs back into its burrow, predicting 6 more weeks of winter. Groundhog Day has its roots in the ancient Christian tradition of Candlemas, when clergy would bless and distribute candles needed for winter. The candles represented how long and how cold the winter would be.
Candles.
Germans expanded on the concept by selecting an animal, the hedgehog, as a means of predicting weather. Once they came to America, German settlers in Pennsylvania continued the tradition, although they switched from hedgehogs to groundhogs, which were more plentiful in Pennsylvania.
It literally is that someone made it up, Mark.
Yeah.
This says that Clymer Fries just went to, apparently, the pre-existing Punxsutawney Groundhog Club, which is a club of groundhog hunters in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, and was just like, hey, do you guys want to go to Gobbler's Knob and see if this groundhog's scared or not, and then predict the weather?
It's like the have you seen the bones or no bones thing that's going on right now?
Yeah.
It's the exact same thing, but this is like 1887's version of this viral weird shit.
I
where
like Groundhog Day.
Something random, like a groundhog seeing its shadow, or a dog that does or doesn't eat. I'm not saying it's cute, you know, the dog getting the bones and stuff, but like, it's still weird. People are like, it's a no bones day. The first time I heard it, I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, it's gonna be a bad day. It's a no bones day.
It's a no bones day.
It's the same idea. It's like, it's gonna be a long winter. Groundhog didn't see its shadow. It's a no bones day.
Yeah, exactly.
We're still just as dumb as we were 200 years ago.
And then in 200 years from now, they ritualistically rip the bones out of a small animal to determine whether or not it'll be a good day or not. Ah, a bones day. Good. Excellent. May it forever hence be a bone day.
I like Groundhog Day. Doesn't have to make sense.
No, I'm not saying it's not like cute and all, but it don't make sense.
I will say I appreciate something like Groundhog's Day more than something where it's told to have come from real experiences. Like, you hear about Groundhog Day and you're like, okay, but why would the groundhog? And I was like, he wouldn't know. It's just a fun thing. There's a groundhog.
Mm-hmm.
We get it. It's arbitrary.
Yeah.
If there was a tradition where it was like, in the ancient times, groundhogs used to have the most acute sense of all of nature's creatures. They would be able to predict accurately what the weather would be in the near future. And ancient hunters came to trust groundhogs. They would find a groundhog den and wait for it to come out. And that would tell them the weather for the next couple months. And then they would know, maybe should we go on a further expedition and push our luck? Or maybe we should turn back because winter is here to stay, or like whatever. Like, if that was the story of Groundhog Day, I'd be like, yeah, sure, fucking right. That doesn't mean anything to me. That's stupid. But that some white guys in Pennsylvania were just like, you guys want to fuck around with a groundhog and get drunk once a year? I don't know. We go to this place called Gobbler's Knob. It's fucking hilarious. And just check and just see what happens. Like, yeah, dude, I would do that.
It's just the groundhog guy constantly trying to rope his friends in to go hanging out in Gobbler's Knob with groundhogs. Oh, here comes Groundhog Gary again. Oh, jeez. No! For God's sake, no!
Better than Ferret Frank. Frank's idea is just to let a ferret into your pants and see what happens.
Yeah.
Do they name the turkeys that they, you know how we do, like, the president pardons a turkey or whatever around Thanksgiving? Do they name the turkeys, or are they just like, what happens to the pardoned turkeys?
They get eaten.
Isn't that the point? They're not supposed to?
Nah, they get eaten.
The turkey is on stage next to the president or the vice president, whoever's doing it, and they're like, I pardon Jeffrey C. Turkey on this Thanksgiving. Go and be free. And then the chef literally takes that turkey into the kitchen and is just like, fuck! All right, let's eat this bird. That's how chefs say the word beard, apparently.
Beard.
Have you seen, like, the White House chef? I don't know if it's still the same guy.
What?
Have you seen the White House chef?
No.
No.
Have you not? The reason, you'll see why I bring this up.
Are you talking about this absolute beefcake of a man?
Yes, I am talking about this.
Holy crap,
absolute beefcake. He's enormous.
Who is this? Andre Rush?
Yeah, is that his name? Yeah.
Andre Rush. the White House chef with the viral biceps.
Dude, he could kill a turkey just by looking at it.
Yeah, when you went rush, like, yeah, that was exactly what happened.
Oh my God, the image of him with the frying pan and the big, like, spatula looking over, glaring like he's about to murder someone. He is jacked, man.
Dude, he's looking at the turkey right now. He's like, all right, pardon me, come on.
That's where the stage is. He's in the back making gravy, staring at the turkey, just like, get over here. I'm waiting for you.
Turn the cameras off.
All that dude does is work out and then cook food for the president and his family.
Yeah, pretty much.
Apparently.
Yeah. I think he was the chef during, I believe, Obama. I'm pretty sure. The current chef is someone by the name of Christita Comerford. I had a tough time with that name.
Wow, that is a hard name. Christita Comerford. Comerford. I don't know.
I'm just glad that we have food like that we eat around the holidays. Have you guys ever heard about what they do for Christmas in Greenland?
No.
Nope.
Didn't know people lived in Greenland.
Yeah, they do.
All right.
I was just trees and ice.
Very cold.
I didn't even think there were trees. I thought it was just ice.
So I don't know how commonplace this is there. I don't have like statistics or anything, but apparently they take small Arctic birds. I think they're A-U-K, auk. I don't know how to pronounce it, but they take small Arctic birds and they wrap them in like seal skin, bury it for several months. And then I guess they pull them out, dig them up and eat the decomposed flesh.
Good.
Mm.
I bet it's delicious to them.
It's whale skin, a combination of raw whale skin and Arctic bird wrapped in seal skin.
This dish is apparently called kiviak.
Kiviak.
A seal delicacy.
I think I've heard of that.
This describes it as a bunch of hundreds of dead auk birds stuffed into a dead seal and left to ferment under a rock for around 3 months.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. Same idea, different imagery.
It seems to be a traditional dish of the native population of the area of Greenland. I guess the Inuit population. I'm not sure if that's correct, but...
Meanwhile, apparently KFC has taken the monopoly for food in Japan. I guess they've convinced a lot of people in Japan that Americans eat fried chicken on Christmas.
Oh, yeah. No, that is a thing.
Yeah, so I didn't know KFC was big around... Apparently, around Christmas time, KFC is huge in Japan.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's just like marketing. They managed to do it. That's the same as the hide the pickle Scottish German man from Japan. He went over there and was like, okay, you gotta try this KFC. I'm an American.
Weird. There's some weird stuff out there. I like Spain's way of celebrating, where they have a bunch of people run around wearing their red underwear, like just underwear. It's customary to wear red underwear on New Year's Eve, so after Christmas, you get your red underwear out. Let's see, it's a small town in Spain, La Font de la Figuera. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Taking on the tradition one step further, New Year's Eve run with runners wearing just their red underwear. They also apparently, allegedly, this town has the highest incidence of pneumonia in the country, though. May or may not be related to running around in their underwear on New Year's Eve.
That's a good fact, you know? That's a great fact. Very fun. I like that.
Well, all right. I guess I should probably bring this to a close unless you guys have anything else you want to talk about.
I'm still hung up on the kiviak.
Yeah.
It seems like one of those things that maybe you don't appreciate it until you see it in person, but it's just the way that you eat this food is described as traditionally you pick the birds clean, I guess, and clean the outside, and then you bite the head off and suck out juices of the bird?
Huh? Sure. Hell yeah.
Sounds good, man. It must taste better than it sounds, because that sounds crazy.
I just want to picture the person who's just like, look, here's what we do. We grab a, oh God, I have a dead whale line here. Okay, dead seal. Just scrape some of this, put this, look at all these birds. Blam! All right, cool. Let me stuff these in the seal with the whale, and we're just gonna put this in the snow for a couple months, and then we eat it. Who pitched it?
I mean, you gotta understand, like, in most of these spaces, it's just ice. It's kind of just ice. You gotta make sure food, whenever you get it, keeps. So, like, a lot of the dishes, just like, you go for fermenting because it works and it keeps it relatively edible so that it won't kill you when you eat it. You know, you control the types of things that are growing in it. And when it comes down to food, like, if you grew up with that stuff, that's what you like. I mean, it's just what it is. You can get used to anything. You can, like, become accustomed to anything if you grow up with
it. That's true.
There's fermented foods all over the world. Who knows?
That's very true. It makes me want to try it because I feel like I'm not appreciating, I'm not appreciating it, but I also feel like
some stuff, no matter how open-minded you are, you're going to try it. And if you didn't grow up eating it, you're going to kind of be like, I just eat bird juices. There's juice in the bird and I eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Ooh. Better than starving to death.
If it's of your culture, I'm sure it's a delicacy. That dish is eaten mainly on special occasions. So it's like Christmas, birthdays.
Yeah.
It's fancy.
Yeah.
Let us know out there if you guys like have any of these traditions or other ones, like let us know on the Reddit or something. Like let us know some other weird ones and stuff, or if you guys do these and if we're getting something wrong. Because I'm curious, like, how many people out there, if you're in Greenland, like, do you do this? If you're in Catalonia, do you have poop statues? Like, I don't know.
There are 50,000 people in Greenland. I'm not 100% sure if we have listeners in Greenland.
We might.
But it's possible.
Greenland listeners, go to the Reddit. Prove us wrong. Show us you're there. We have to have at least one Greenland listener. There's one.
Definitely. No question.
Maybe.
I know you're out there.
The one holdout.
But all right, I guess I'll bring this to a close. Hope everyone out there has or had, depending on when you listen to this, happy holiday, Merry Christmas, so on and so forth. Be safe and smart out there, and let us know your crazy traditions. I have to pick a winner. You know, based on something said very early in the episode, Mark, I'm giving you the win. I don't remember what you said, but it made me laugh, or it made me like, oh, that's good points. And that's the only time I thought about points the entire time.
Aww.
So therefore, you win.
Ah, thanks, man.
Yeah, if anyone can remember what I thought of where I didn't say anything out loud, let me know also what it was.
They're going to listen back to the episode and be like, oh, that was Bob.
Uh-oh.
It's too late for that. Thank you for the win. I appreciate it, and I earned it, probably.
Probably. Fine, great.
Good episode, everybody. We do have merch out there if you guys haven't already checked that out. If you go to store.distractablepodcast.com, you can get yourself a little squeeze ball fridge, shirts, and more, with more stuff coming soon. Check it out. Thanks to my co-host Mark and Bob for a fun episode. Merry Christmas, everybody, and until the next episode, podcast out.